Papers filed this morning in a New York bankruptcy court read, Name of debtor, General Motors Corporation, Detroit, Michigan. These are the same forms all sorts of bankrupt companies fill out, but GM is one of the largest by far. We're covering this story in several parts of our program. Now we're going to take a step back to hear about the history of bankruptcy and how it helped to shape this country. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
To really appreciate the modern American approach to bankruptcy, imagine yourself back in ancient Greece. Maybe you earn a living as a tinsmith or a wine merchant, which might be nice, so long as you didn't end up owing people money that you couldn't pay them. Back in ancient Greece, if that happened, you and your spouse, your children, any servants that you had were all forced into debt slavery until you had paid your debts back through your own physical labor.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty tough way to deal with this, I guess. Huh?
It is. In fact, the word bankruptcy comes from the Greek, which means broken bench.
Charles Tattelbaum is a lawyer and former vice president of the American Bankruptcy Institute.
Most of the tradespeople worked at a bench, like a silversmith, tinsmith, cobbler, whatever, and they would break his bench as part of that process, and that's where the name bankruptcy comes from.
Back a few hundred years ago, at the time of the colonization of America, in England, Spain, and France, they didn't break your bench, they threw you in jail.
Many of the original colonists that came to the 13 colonies came here because they were offered the opportunity of going to debtor's prison or coming to the colonies.
There were some bigger issues of the day, the whole taxation without representation thing, but Tattelbaum says the founding fathers also wanted a better way to deal with bankruptcy.
And that is why in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, before you get to the president, before you get to the Congress, there's a provision that says only the Congress can pass laws relating to bankruptcy, and that was so that there would be a uniform federal bankruptcy and no state debtors' prisons.
In the years that followed, Tattelbaum says that helped attract entrepreneurs from all over the world to come to this country. It made starting a business a much less risky proposition. And today, either as an individual or a business, if something happens and you can't pay all the people that you owe money to, you can declare bankruptcy.
The real concept of bankruptcy in the United States is a fresh start. So you are able to discharge your debts, modify your debts, and hold your creditors totally at bay. You are able to keep some of your assets and to start all over again.
The creditors, the people that you owe money to, get something out of this also. Through bankruptcy, they stand a good chance of getting paid back more money. Lynn Lepucki is one of the top bankruptcy scholars in the country. He's a law professor at UCLA and Harvard.
Almost every company is worth much more in operation than it is in liquidation. Take, for example, the assets of Chrysler and GM. And let's say that the plants are put up for sale. Who's going to buy them? They're simply going to sit there.
So bankruptcy allows companies to keep operating, to keep making money, in the hope that they can pay creditors back something reasonable. The details of who gets paid back how much are spelled out in a legally binding plan that a judge has to approve. The hope is that given time, sometimes it's months, sometimes years, the company can get back on its feet. Lepucki's done some research on this. He says it works out about half the time, and half the time it doesn't. Chris Arnold, NPR News.